got the privilege this morning of sharing again. And we're going to, who knows, we've got a healing service today. Ne? You guys ready? Okay, we're going to do it slightly differently this morning. Sometimes you have to be careful of getting stuck in a routine, even if it's a good godly routine, right? And we need to keep on asking God, how is it that you want to use? What do you want to do today? And I was just so encouraged by, I was going backwards and forwards yesterday. God, how do you want to do it? How do you want to do it? And God came with a completely different way. So I am completely out of my comfort zone this morning, but we're going to go there together. And what happens if I missed it? Will I die? No, I'm still the favorite daughter of God. Okay, ek is nog steeds sy witbroodjie. So I want to give you permission to also go out and say, I don't really know if I heard right or wrong, but I am trying to hear God's voice and I think I've got a word for you. I want to give you all permission. Let's follow after God. And if we get it wrong in the process, we say, I'm so sorry. I missed it, but God, I'm going to try again. Okay, amen. Did I pray? No, I didn't. Jesus, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are the one who heals. You are the one who saves. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we honor you, power of God. We thank you that it says in your word, the power of God was present to heal. And we thank you that you are here this morning. You are the one who heals. You are the one who sets free. You are the one who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, not because you want to convict and make us feel ashamed and guilty, but because there's an invitation to come closer. God, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go to Luke 5. If you have your Bible, Luke 5, verse 17. Got the slides up there. Thank Matthew, donkey, meneer. All right, so I'm going to read for us. It's the story about a paralyzed man who had really, really good friends. And we teach it quite often at Kids Church. You know the story about the very good friends that broke somebody's roof. Okay, they took the roof apart. Can you imagine? Those are the kind of friends I want, you know? It's saying, we're going to get you in this house, whether we break somebody else's roof down or not. And they lowered their friend down because the man was paralyzed and he needed to get to Jesus. So this is the story we're going to start off with. Now, it happened on a certain day as Jesus was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. It doesn't quite explain it, but they broke the roof. They made a hole in the roof to get their friend down. When he, who is Jesus, saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven. And then we go into this whole thing and the Pharisees are freaking out because who is Jesus who can say that your sins are forgiven? And then we catch up with the story in verse 24 again where it says, but now this is Jesus speaking, saying, but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. This is Jesus saying, I didn't just come, I came to forgive your sins, to clean up your backpack so that you can go lighter through this life, that you don't need to drag stuff with you and go like this through the world, but that you can go lighter and closer to God. We've spoken about this often. Sin, God doesn't actually have a problem with sin except that it separates you from the Father. Okay? I can't get close to my kids if there are boulders, rocks between us. Those rocks are sin. Okay? And God is saying, let's get that out of the way so that we can have an intimate relationship. So that's the problem God has with sin. He's not sin-focused. He doesn't fall off his throne when we sin. It's just he's saying it is separating us. But that is why Jesus came. And the other thing that he came to do is to heal us, to heal our minds, our bodies, our spirits. Our spirits get healed when we get saved and we set you know, we get born again. Our spirits get healed. Does that make sense? God wants to heal us physically, emotionally as well. But in this case, we see here a wonderful thing that Luke is capturing so beautifully. It says there in verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You see, it's not us. We cannot heal a headache. We cannot do nothing. But the power of God, who is the power of God? In Acts, in the beginning of Acts, actually in Luke 24, Jesus says to the disciples, you go and you wait in Jerusalem until you are endued. I think it's the endowed. Endued. Whatever. Until you receive the power of God. Who is the power of God? The Holy Spirit. Okay, and in this case, it says here, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That is the Holy Spirit, God Himself. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He's a person. He's one of the Trinity. He is God Himself, and He is here right now. Whether you feel Him or not, it doesn't deny the fact that Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, Matthew 18, verse 20, there I am. It says in Psalm 100, verse 4, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. What did we do now this whole time where half of us are trying to wake up and what are we doing and why is the shofar blowing and why are there flags? We are trying to enter in. That's why we're praising. That's why we go crazy because, God, we are so hungry and thirsty to get into Your presence. Because in Your presence where He is, there is healing, there is salvation, there is fullness of joy. Everything you need is in Him. And I've got news for you. He is here and He is the healer. We're going to speak about that. So the power of God, like it says here in Luke, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord is here this morning, and He is present to heal those who need healing. Amen? Who needs any form of healing? I'm not going to make you stand. You can breathe out. You can just wave. Do you need emotional, physical, many healings? Do you know that Jesus died for our healing? Okay, we're going to look at that. And then verse 20, it says there, when Jesus saw their faith, He said to them, this is beautiful. When Jesus saw their faith, whose faith is it? It's the friends. Do you see this? It's not the paralyzed man. It's not the sick man's faith. Does Jesus want us to have faith? Absolutely. Without faith, we cannot please Him. But very often, and we've spoken about the guy at the pool of Bethesda, also a paralyzed man. I mean, he had nothing. He was moaning when Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? He's like, oh, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. You know, there was nothing, and Jesus healed him. And then there are other times, like the lady who touched the hem of His garment, and the Syrophoenician woman that had the daughter who was demon-possessed, and Jesus actually insulted her, saying, look, I came to give food to the kids, you know. He basically told her, you're a dog. You need to go read that story. Jesus was highly offensive. And she said, Jesus, even the little dogs need to eat the crumbs on the ground. And what did Jesus say? Your faith is beautiful. So we need faith, but can He heal without faith? Yes, because He's God. And in this case, what is beautiful is it wasn't even the paralyzed man's faith. It was the friends. Okay, so I want to ask you again, who are your friends? That's a side note. Who are you hanging out with? Do they have enough faith for you when you don't have the faith? That's what we need. That's why we come together. That's why we have small group. That's why we do training. We say, come, let us stir each other's faith. Let's all put our little quilkies together and get a fire going that will set this whole valley alight. Amen? But in this case, I want to tell you, there is faith this morning. Who of you know that your body has been touched at a healing service in this church? Look around. Look at your friends this morning. Okay? Look at the hands going up. I've got a friend that I asked. Now, I'm first going to share my testimony, and then Rian, I'm going to call you up. I'm not at the end yet, but I decided to put him in the middle. I went to Worcester. I've shared this testimony, but I felt to share it again. I went to Worcester end of last year. I think it was last year sometime, to the show for Worcester Church. And I preached there. Liesl and Nita went with me. And at the end, we did words of knowledge. God wants to heal different people. And I think Nita was still busy sharing some word of knowledge. And a lady, I will never forget her, she sat kind of in the middle, a little bit to the right. She jumped up and she said, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And I'm like, we're still getting to the part of praying. But the power of God was present to heal her. And I said, "Well, what's going on?" Because by now, this is, I mean, everybody's like, "What's going on? It's already out of order with healing services. People are getting up, and now other people are speaking, and it's a little bit dear makar." And this lady jumped up. So I said, "Well, come tell us what happened." She came to the front. She said, "Well, I couldn't really get up out of my bed," and she might kind of try to explain how it went, "but now I can." And she's going like this, and I'm like, "What?" And straight after, it happened again. It happened twice that morning, and I was just again reminded that yes, God wants us to pray for the sick, and we will pray this morning, but let us not forget that when the presence of God, when two or more are gathered, there He is. Where the Holy Spirit is, there He is to heal, because He is the one who does the healing. Rian's got a similar testimony that I've asked him to share. Rian, will you come?
A while back when we had also a healing service, Jolene forgot to ask if there's anybody with hay fever. So I didn't get up. But God heals no matter what the situation is. And sometimes you feel you have to have faith to be able to be healed. I don't know how it worked for me, but I've been suffering with hay fever as long as I can remember. From a little child, I remember one day coming home and feeling, I don't know what's happening. But I know hay fever because my mom had hay fever and our whole family. And only if you have hay fever, you understand what's it all about and the struggle that you have. And I went home, and as I went home, I said to Fiona, I feel we need to stand in faith for this hay fever. And it took me a long time to get up here and speak about this because I wasn't too sure whether it's real. Because hay fever is not nice. And it comes and goes and you think you're fine. But it's been now, like Fiona said, I left her at home so she can interrupt me again. But she said it's more than 2 years now. And it's all glory to God.
So just to be clear, Rian, no more symptoms, nothing. And when, I'm going to interrupt you because your beautiful wife is not here. When Fiona was here, when he shared it a couple of weeks ago for the first time, she ran up and she said something about you struggled in homes with cats and dogs. Yeah? And nothing now?
No problem.
Yeah. Did anybody pray for you in the service? Oh, the power of God was present to heal. And this morning, this is where now my hands are sweaty. Okay, so I'm going to go for what I felt God saying, and then I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to do some other stuff. I felt God saying that while, even in the worship, some of you still think you're sick. God has already touched your body. He's already healed you. But as I'm going to share a little bit, I'm not going to preach long. We're going to be finished on time, I promise. Or maybe not. But I'm going to try my very best. But if you feel God is touching your body, that can be heat. It can be tingling. It can be a little bit of a shiver. It can be extreme peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy is the kingdom of God. It can be peace. It can be whatever. If while I'm speaking, you feel, or even up until now, you know God has actually touched your body, then I want you to stand up. I'm not going to call you to the front. All I'm going to do while I'm speaking, I'm going to multitask. Né? I'm going to say, "I bless you in Jesus' name," and you're going to sit down. I feel that God wants us to have a bit of an act of obedience. And I felt Him saying to honor that while He is here and I'm sharing the word, His word goes forth. It's not me. It's the word of God. But I felt God saying that while I'm sharing, He's going to touch people. But some of we all need to honor Him and stand up. I'm not going to, I'm going to say it again for those of you going, "I'm not getting up, I'm not doing it." I'm not going to call you to the front, okay? I'm not going to put the microphone in front of you. All I'm going to do is I'm going to say, "I bless you in Jesus' name," and I'm going to carry on with my message, okay? Are we going to do this? It might get a little bit confusing and distracting, but I feel we need to go that way. You guys with me? Okay. All right, So the first one, so you are welcome to get up at any stage. Don't mind me. Once I said, I bless you in Jesus' name, you're welcome to sit down again. Okay, so we're going to go to Exodus 15, verse 26. If you want to go with me, you're going to go there with me. You know that one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our healer. And we see this in Exodus 15, verse 26, where it says there, I'm actually going to start a little bit earlier. It's not up there, but I'm just going to start earlier because otherwise we start mid-sentence. There, he who is God made a statue and an ordinance for them. This is God speaking through Moses to the Israelites. And there he tested them and said, I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. You guys can sit. Praise God. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases, none, not hay fever, not nothing. Rihanna, I won't forget hay fever ever again. None of the diseases, I bless you in Jesus' name, on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. You see, healing is not something God does. It's not an add-on. When Jesus walked the earth, it's not something he did sometimes or part of his ministry, I bless you in Jesus' name. It is who he is. He cannot help but heal. He is the Lord, your healer. I bless you in Jesus' name. He's saying, it is part of my nature. I bless you in Jesus' name. Psalm 103, we're going to go there. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3. Sorry, I'm jumping around. If you want to keep up, otherwise just keep up on the back. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David said, last healing service I did on Psalm 103. I'm stuck in Psalm 103. But God, David is saying, don't forget what Jesus died for. This is before Jesus died. I want to know what relationship David had with Jesus. He knew these things before Jesus died. Don't forget what he died for. Don't forget what you get when you become his child. And it says here, who forgives all your iniquities. We know he removes the backpack. Who heals all your diseases. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. That is what he does, not because he comes in and he says, okay, I'm actually here to forgive your sin and redeem your life from destruction, but while you are sick, okay, I will heal you. No, he's saying, who I am is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. I cannot but help but heal. When I get in a situation where there is sickness, I heal because that's who I am. Amen? That's the first thing. Can you imagine Moses having 2 million people, I don't know if that includes kids, but 2 million people need to get out of slavery, out of Egypt, right? They need to walk out. There are elderly people in there, and let's face it, they are probably sick people, because in any given bunch of 2 million people, you're going to find a couple of people with some ailments, especially if they've been slaves for how many years. They have carried stuff they shouldn't be carrying, okay? So they have probably back pain, knee pain, I can just imagine what all. They have worked in the sun. It's really hot, I think, in Egypt. They have worked in the sun. I don't think they had sunscreen, so I don't know what kind of a skin issues they had. And yet, Moses, God says to him, none of you will be sick. I will heal you. Can you imagine the miracle they walked in? We know about the 10 plagues and the miracle God did to get them out. But the miracle, I mean, they speak about the sandals and the clothes not wearing, you know. But they walked in full health. And I actually feel that's a promise for us. Jesus died for us. Yes, he wants to heal us. But first prize is that we don't even get sick at all. Because he paid for that. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah 53. Right. Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says there, but he who is Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace. Some of you need peace. You're not sleeping. You're struggling. Whatever. And it's coming out in your body. Stress is a problem, guys. The amount of stress we carry. The amount of stress our kids carry. And then we wonder why. They were my moch pain. They've got tummy aches. They've got stuff because of stress. And God is saying, I paid for their peace. I paid for your peace. And by his stripes, we are healed. By His stripes, by His stripes we are healed. The stripes, I want to tell you what happened. You know this. The stripes, there's a sweep. What's a sweep? A whip. I grew up on a farm. They whip. They don't actually hit the cattle. They just herd them in by the... Give it to Mark. Yes, I'll let Mark. Mark, I clap soon, eh? That's a sweep, is to try and herd. That thing, the thing that actually makes that sound is a sweep is this long, who knows what a sweep is? It's a very long leather piece, but it's the little piece in front that Mark die geluid, eh? Okay? If you grew up on a farm and you hear that thing, it's loud. It gets them. So they don't actually, or at least on my dad's farm, they didn't actually hit, unless one didn't really listen, but it's very seldom. It's just to hurt them, to get them somewhere. But that little piece can hurt you like nobody's business. You get hit with that piece, it will split open your skin, okay? Jesus was hit with a whip. The difference is that whip had pieces of metal in. It already will tear open your skin. But now you put little metal hooks in there. Can you imagine? I don't know how many stripes he got on his back, but he was unrecognizable. He didn't even look human, some of the people said. Because each time they hit him, they don't carefully take it out. I'm sorry if this is gross, but this is what your Jesus did for you and me. They would rip it out. And what would happen is a piece of his skin, of his body, would come out. And Jesus said, when I did that, those stripes that didn't just bruise my body, but that completely broke my body. That's what I took so that your body can be healed. It says there, by his stripes, when you read his stripes, that's what his stripes are. Bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you. By his stripes, we are healed. He took it on his body. Every sickness, every disease, every generational thing, we might just struggle. Bless you in Jesus' name. The ways we struggle, put in whatever. X, Y, and Z. Jesus said, no, I bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you in Jesus' name. I took it on your body. I bless you in Jesus' name. He took it on his body and he said, you will not be sick because my body bore the sickness in Jesus' name. Bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. We're going to take communion now. If the vessel as jy in jou span dalk vir ons kan help. We're going to take communion. And I felt, you see, we are going to pray for the sick, but I mean, you heard that I bless you in Jesus' name, even if it was at the back of your head. His presence is here to heal. And when we take communion, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians. What happened to my Corinthians one? Luckily, I know where Corinthians is. I quite like a Bible up here, so I will rather blow it dikantu and doi kantu, but we're going to get there. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 24, while they're handing out, they're going to hand out in between, that's okay, we carry on. I want to speak about communion before we take communion, because you see, I don't think I'm going to do it more for myself than for you, so just go on the journey with me. But it says there, I'm going to read first, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. It says there, and when he, Jesus, had given thanks, he's speaking about the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, and he's saying, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it, which was the bread, and said, listen to what he said, take, eat. We all know this out of our, you know this scripture, because if you've been in church, you've received communion, and the pastor or the minister has shared this verse with you. But I want you to just listen again what Jesus said. He says, take and eat. What are we eating? We are eating his body. This is my body, which is broken for you. When we eat this cracker, we're going to eat it together in a little bit. When we eat it together, we're going to break the piece of cracker and we're going to remember that that is Jesus' body that got whipped and ripped apart. Why? It was broken for you. I almost want to say it was broken for Jolene. It was broken for Richard, for Michelle. It's a personal thing. Jesus didn't say, I broke my body for the whole world. It is for the whole world, but he sees the one. His body was broken for you. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Break the piece of bread, the cracker, and say, thank you, Jesus. I remember. I will never understand and I will never fully get it. But with my cognitive human mind, I remember that your body was broken so that my body can be whole and healthy. Amen? That's the first piece. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. You don't need to take anything right now. I first want to go through it, and then we're going to have communion together. We took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Okay? This is where he lost more than half his church, Jesus, when he said, you're going to drink my blood and eat my flesh. He offended people again. Jesus was highly offensive, and he didn't bother to correct it or to help them understand. But this is what he says. He says, when you drink this little bit of grape juice, this is my blood. What does the blood represent, guys? What is the blood? We speak about the blood. We sing it about the blood. What is the blood? I'm not going to go into the whole teaching about what happened in the Old Testament, how many little animals and big animals got slaughtered because blood was needed to wash clean the sins of all of Israel for a year. In fact, it was only for that atonement. It was an unblemished little lamb. But blood was needed to clean what has happened. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Sorry, I didn't see you. I hope you didn't stand for too long. Sorry, Nintendo. Blood was needed to clean us. But you see, the other thing that the blood of Jesus paid for, is that no more, only once a year, a little lamb is sacrificed and the high priest goes in and he makes atonement in the holiest of holies. Do you know that he had a rope around his ankle? I bless you in Jesus' name. And he had the high priest had little clockies. What do you call it? Bells around his robe. Thank you, Rosita. My English is chalast. He would walk in to the holies of holies. The rope was there so that when they don't hear the bells anymore, they realize we need to pull this man out. He's dead. Okay? Because the holiness of God, you can only go in if you are clean. Who of us are clean? Nobody. But the blood of Jesus, that's the blood. He paid. And when Jesus died, when his blood was spilled, that veil tore from top to bottom. Jesus tore it from the heaven down. It wasn't a man that tore it from the bottom up. He tore it, and the blood paid. Jesus' blood paid, not just for our sins. Yes, he paid for our sins, but he gave us access. Huh? He gave us access. In the Old Testament, only one guy could go in once a year to make atonement, and he was allowed to go in. Now we can all go in anytime. I mean, that's the best news. You know, we can all have that intimate relationship. We can all go in to the holies of holies. We can all enter his presence. I bless you in Jesus' name. That's what the blood paid for. The blood is the protection. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. Blood, when the Passover lamb, the first Passover was when they left Egypt, right? What did Moses say? If you want the angel of death to pass over your house, only those without sin are allowed to be inside. No. Isn't it amazing? Nobody cared whether there was an Egyptian. I thought maybe there are some Egyptians hiding with the Hebrews. Hey, can you imagine? I'm sure there were. Some of them that heard the rumors have seen the plagues and this stupid, I'm going. Can I come into your house tonight? There was no checking. Is it really Hebrews or is it Egyptians? Is it this side of Franschhoek? Is it that side? Is it this side of the economic scale? Is it that side? Did I get born into the right family? It didn't matter. What mattered? The blood on the doorpost. That's what the angel looked for. There's blood. I don't care. If there's 20 or 100, I don't even care who's in there. The blood was what covered you. That's the blood of Jesus now. That's the blood. It covers us. It protects us. It gives us access. It heals our bodies. So we're going to take communion, and then we're going to pray after that. I want to finish verse 26. Sorry. It says there, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You proclaim. So when we take the cup and the cracker this morning, I'm going to lead you in it. We're going to break this cracker. And we're going to remember that Jesus' body was broken. And we're going to proclaim death, sickness, hay fever, whatever your sickness is, I am proclaiming over you what Jesus did. I am proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. I am proclaiming that what Jesus did is enough. It is stronger. It speaks the, not just the better word, but the final word. It is done. We're going to proclaim. So I bless you in Jesus' name. I want you to take your cracker where you are. You can close your eyes. If you feel more comfortable, you can leave it open. That's also fine. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that your body was ripped apart. God, that you could have walked away. You could have walked away, but you didn't. You stayed. You had the meekness to stay so that our bodies can be made whole. So I want you to, when you're ready, just break the cracker and just say, thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken so that my body can be whole. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood was spilled, that you hung on a tree naked. Father, thank you that you took all our sin, that you took all our shame. Jesus was shamed. Guys, he didn't hang with the little cloths like the kids' Bibles show it these days. He hung naked. That shame, he took shame to the cross. If you are struggling this morning with shame, I want to tell you, shame, Jesus took your shame to the cross. He was forsaken. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For a moment, his Father in heaven, who he's never had a moment apart from, turned his back on Jesus. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took that forsakenness, that abandonment. For some of you, you were abandoned by your parents when you were little, and you feel abandoned, and you feel, I'm forsaken, nobody cares, nobody sees. But God, Jesus said, I took that abandonment. I took the forsaken, I took it to the cross, so that you will know, you will never, ever, ever be alone. You will never be separated from me. My blood paid for it. I took every sin. I feel for some of you that the word came out in intercession, and we're going to pray now. There's going to be an opportunity to confess unforgiveness. There's stuff that no man or woman should have ever gone through. And I feel God is saying, I'm not justifying it. It is wrong. But you carry the unforgiveness, and you are struggling, and it's unforgiveness that has been coming for years, and it's a deep struggle. And Jesus said, I know it's difficult, but the unforgiveness is causing you to be sick. I paid for that. And Jesus said, I will sort out the offender, but you need to be set free this morning. That's what Jesus paid for on the cross. That's the blood that was spilled. That's his blood. So Father, we thank you. We thank you that you allowed your only son to come. I can't even imagine. I don't want my son or my kids to ever hurt in any way. And you looked on while he was ripped apart, while he was killed, God, while he was forsaken. You had to turn your back on him. While he went through shame that no human being should go through. While his blood was spilled, God, you did it. For the joy, that is us. That's me. He saw Richard. He saw Jolene. He saw Elise. He saw put in your name. That's who Jesus saw. He saw you as he was hanging there. And he said, I can see Stefan. And that is why I'm doing this. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We say, thank you, Jesus, for going through it so that we can be reconciled, so that we can be healed. Thank you for your blood. Let's drink together. We're going to bless you in Jesus' name. We're gonna end. I really feel God is here, and he's wanting to meet with many of us, me included. I'm here in front, and most of the times I'm like, Lord, I want to meet with you. I don't want to go. You know, the donkey, pick me. It's so good. But we're doing things differently this morning. And firstly, I want to give God all the glory and all the praise. You saw the amount of times. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for what you have already started, bodies that have already been healed. We praise you, Jesus, that your power to heal is here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, and we give you all the glory and all the thanks. I want to invite the ministry team to come and stand here behind me. If you are ministry team, this is your cue. I did brief you guys. If you're going to come stand here in front, there's one last scripture that I felt to share, and that's James 5. You guys know James 5. It says there, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I felt that there's some of us that God has been healing and he's been speaking. He's been healing and he's been speaking, but I felt for some of us, you need to come forward for us to pray for you, with you, and to actually anoint you with oil. I felt the oil this morning was important. So we're going to anoint you. The anointing oil is just symbolic of the blood of Jesus, okay? So we're not doing witchcraft. We're not going to sacrifice you. We're just going to put a little bit of oil, and we're saying that is the blood of Jesus. For some of you, there's generational things that's maybe not even sickness related. Maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe it's a financial thing that you're saying it's just the same cycle over and over and over. And I feel God is saying this morning, as we come in agreement, we put the blood of Jesus on your head, that cycle is going to break in Jesus' name. I felt a couple of things. You don't need to stick up your hand, but I am going to give opportunity for you to respond, to come to the front at the end of this, because I know some of this is personal, okay? I felt mental ailments. That's the word I heard, mental ailments. I heard especially hormonal imbalances. If you're struggling with hormonal imbalances and that's causing you to be in torment mentally, then this morning is your morning. Depression, anxiety, anything bipolar, anything like that. And then I felt there are some of us that are struggling for years, fill in the dot, whatever. It's been a year thing. It's like Rian says, since I was this small. It's just been for years and years and years. And for some of you have been to the front, and I feel God is saying, I want you to come again. Because we're going to pray and we're going to declare and we're going to pray again until you are healed. Because that is your inheritance. That is what Jesus died for. I felt for ladies' monthly cycles, whatever issues you have with monthly cycles, whether it's pain, whether there's stuff growing in there that shouldn't be growing, anything regarding monthly cycle. And then for men, I felt prostate issues. It can be prostate cancer, but just prostate in general. And then also erectile dysfunction, if that is you. And then, almost done, I felt that there might be a couple or two or three that are struggling to fall pregnant. And if that is you, I've actually felt that the couple should come forward, not just the lady, but that the couple. And we are going to trust God to give you the baby, because godly offspring is his will. Amen. And then the last thing is, if you are struggling with what I mentioned earlier, unforgiveness, and you realize I have said I forgive whoever, but you realize it's not done. How do I know it's not done? When I think about them, when I bump into them, my mouth mocks. I go the other aisle in Pick and Pay. If that is you, if we come and we just say, I struggle to forgive Sonny. But if we say it out loud, to these people don't know who you're talking about. And if they do, pick somebody else. That's why I asked them this morning to come forward, because I want there to be freedom and liberty for you to go to where you feel comfortable. If it's a private and a confidential matter, these people can be trusted. I vouch for them. Okay, so I'm going to, how do we do this? Let's think. Richard, have you got a song? No? Yes? Maybe, don't put me on the spot. I have, sorry. Let's stand and we're going to worship one final song. But if that is you, or if I didn't mention anything you've got, but you think you have something that you need healing for, that you need prayer for, as we are singing, won't you come to the front? Grab a person. If you're feeling way too close, move them away where there's a bit more privacy. And let's not leave without receiving everything God has for us this morning. Amen.